Do you know who was named the best putting mat in 2022 by My Golf Spy? It was the mats from Birdie Ball. It'll help you sink more putts and make more birdies with a Birdie Ball putting green, all in the comfort of your own home. Check out Birdie Ball online at birdieball.com. Birdie Ball is here to make golf more fun and accessible. Find out more at birdieball.com.
It's time for Grilling at the Green. Join Jeff Tracy as he explores a golfing lifestyle and tries to keep it in the short grass for the hackers, dew sweepers, and turf spankers. Here's Jeff.
Just open up the door and let's take good times in. Tomorrow's gonna be better than today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Grilling at the Green. I'm JF. Jeff. I was going to say JT. I'm Jeff, actually, or one. You can call me anything you want. How's your golf game this week? Well, we're going to find out how this gentleman's golf game is. We're happy to welcome to the show Simon Millington from Golf Brands, Inc. down in Henderson, Nevada. A world traveler, I might say. We've been talking about that off the air. But first, we want to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef, beef the way nature intended. And from our friends over on the Oregon coast, the Oregon Crab Commission, from sea to plate. If you've never had Oregon Dungeness crab, you're missing out on a real treat. So if you can find some, have it today. You ever had Dungeness crab, Simon?
I probably have. I mean, but I couldn't tell you exactly where or when.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. Anyway, welcome to the show. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you.
How did you get, get involved and start Golf Brands? And I looked at your profile and resume, of course, and that. Were you always interested in the golf world?
Yeah. So I've been in the golf business my whole life. I sort of started very young with thinking it was a good idea. And I've sort of stuck with it. So nudging towards 40 years in the industry. So that was really just a part of everything from being a rep, director of golf and owning a golf course, over the last 20 years, accumulating a lot of golf brands, and then selling them sort of all around the world as we do.
Sure. Was this something you, as a kid, somebody gave you a set of sticks and you went out and started playing and went, wow, the light bulb came on?
Well, yeah, I started playing probably around 10 or 11. So I was playing, I'm going to say football, but soccer in my garden with my best friend, and his dad was taking him to play golf. That's how I started. He said, did you want to come and play with us? And that's how I started. But my brother at the time, so we had the family had a boat, and my brother loved boats, and he went into the boat industry. And he was 3 years older than me. And everybody goes, what a fantastic thing to do, to be in the boat industry, something you're passionate about, and he went, that's what he did for a number of years. And so young brother, I thought, well, I love golf, so I'm going to go in the golf business, and kind of started phoning around and trying to become a rep for companies. And that was how it all started 40 odd years ago. So
was that in this country or in your home country?
That was in the UK. Yeah.
So, yeah. Is it different being a rep over there than it is here? I mean, my family had a retail business for 20 odd years. And so I got to know the reps, not in the golf world, but a different business. But point is, a lot of those guys were independent. Even if they had worked for a main brand, they always had some sidelines too. Is it similar?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So, I mean, it was funny. Like, literally, I probably had, I don't know, I phoned around from a golf magazine, phoning up saying, hey, can I be your rep in, at the time, the south of England? And getting these little agencies and stuff like that. I mean, just on commission only, I was young at the time. I was like 18, just started to drive, and off I went, going around repping to all these pro shops at the time. And then sort of gradually got into various parts of it. And you know, here we are in Henderson, Nevada. I didn't see that coming, but.
I don't want to belabor this too much, but did they do the same things? I know with the reps in my family's business, they always had a big sample line. And as their prominence grew as a rep and they got more lines, their sample lines got bigger, and they started out in a car, and pretty soon they were driving a van, and then pretty soon they had a truck and trailer and all kinds of things. Was that kind of similar?
Yeah, Well, yeah, actually, yeah, completely similar. I mean, I started off with almost a suitcase full of some samples of, I think I had golf balls, a putter line, a head cover line. And then I started actually having stock. So I went to a trailer behind my car, and then I did go to a van to and actually had inventory on it and driving around and selling it off the back, driving all over. I went from sort of being in the south of England to going up and down the country, and and that was it. Yeah. So yeah, I actually the three things you mentioned, I literally that was the progression at the time.
Well, there's one thing about doing it that way, I think, Simon, is that is you learn the trade and you learn the industry.
Yeah.
But that's really organic and grassroots, you might say, but that's a one way to learn. And I think it's the best way. Anyway, that's just me, but
No, I agree. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, particularly when you're on commission only, or you're out there trying to do it, and you start, people always say, oh, how did you get into this? It's like, I started trying to make a living. That's how, people always talk about where your business ends up, but your primary focus when you start a business for most people, I think, is to, feed the kids, sort of thing. So.
And sometimes it's a long wait between those $80 commission checks,
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of food at the side of the side of the freeway was eaten and stuff, but yeah.
So as you were going along, what prompted you to start looking into some of these classic brands like McGregor and Ram, and now you've got Hogan? What made you think to go that direction?
So one of the things I so after I'd sort of done the wholesale bit, I started in golf course management, then into retail, and I ended up owning about seven golf shops in the UK. I sold them, and I in that meantime, about 1997, I'd opened a wholesale business up in Palm Springs. I thought it was a good idea to go into the US wholesale, young and stupid, and just you're kind of fearless at that age, right? And so we I did that, sold the golf shops, and then flying over to Palm Springs, I read about this thing called eBay. So we'd ended up having retail stores in Palm Springs, and on the way there, so I'm really, it's the summer, it's 125 degrees, there's not a lot of foot traffic coming in for golfers. So we launched on eBay, and had no idea, couldn't get the listing to work. Luckily, my brother had gone from boats to computers, so he could help me get the picture up, because instead of a little cross and all this sort of stuff. And we sold the first sale we made. We put something on. It was a set of tailor-made irons, the old burner irons, the copper colored ones. And I put a listing on there. I managed to get this listing to go on. And I'm wandering around in the store, and I came back like 20 minutes later, and it had sold $449. I can remember the price. It's like, this internet stuff might be interesting. And so we started doing that, and we were effectively like, we'd be buying deals and trying to find deals to sell online through various sites, but primarily eBay at the time. And that was great, but the trouble was, you're always reliant on a deal. If you couldn't find deals, you didn't have a business, right? So originally, I came up with a brand name sort of in the shower one morning of Texan Classic. So we then started importing our own product branded Texan Classics, just so we had something constantly to sell that we had control of. In 2000, now I'm going to go take you through a whole host of sort of brands that we own that are industry brands that people may or may not remember, but we bought Confidence Golf. They'd gone out of business in Palm Springs, and we bought all the inventory, and we bought the brands Confidence Golf. And then from then we have Palm Springs. We have Prosimmon, which is a really it was very well known in Europe and Australia. And so we gradually started buying these brands. Young Gun, which was the biggest junior brand in Europe. We bought Forgan of St Andrews, which is the oldest golf brand in the world, particularly known to collectors and stuff like that. So we gradually started our own sort of rank brands. And then about, I'm going to say 6 or 7 years ago, we got the opportunity, I kind of hunted it down, to buy Ram and Zebra. So that was kind of the first of our sort of what I would class as our bigger brands, our premium brands. And then and actually Teardrop at the same time there. So we did that. And that was, we bought those from Dick's Sporting Goods. They also owned McGregor and they weren't really doing too much with that. So we ended up buying McGregor from them as well. And then the end of last year, we took on a license. So with Ben Hogan, so with Perry Ellis from Perry Ellis, who are the brand owners of Ben Hogan. So that's kind of completed our portfolio, and we kind of like the way, you know, we've got a lot of new products coming out, and you know, but like in terms of sort of our club range, it's like we've got Ram, McGregor, Ben Hogan, so we've kind of got good, better, best,
yeah,
so across our lines. And you know, we kind of take those lines and we, you know, we try and have everything from, if you're a starting golfer to a senior golfer at the end of your career, we like to have everything in between, so juniors, so.
Excellent. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Simon Millington, the CEO of Golf Brands Inc. down in Henderson, Nevada. He didn't choose to go to a cooler spot from Palm Springs to Henderson, but we'll talk about that later. You're listening to Grilling at the Green.
Hey, everybody, JT here. You know, every week on Grilling at the Green, we bring you a travel tip, and that is brought to you by the Westin Dealerships. I've known those guys since I was a kid, and they have one way of doing business. It's called the Westin way. It's family-oriented, and there's no better people to deal with. Check out Westin Kia on Southeast Stark in Gresham, Oregon.
This is Gary Christian, and you are listening to Jeff Tracy and Grilling at the Green.
Welcome back to Grilling at the Green. I'm Jeff Tracy, and we're talking with Simon Millington today from Golf Brands. They have McGregor, and they have Ram, and they have Zebra putters, and just last fall they acquired the licensing for Hogan, and we're going to talk more about that. But first, I'm going to put Simon, ask him to put his thinking cap on. This is a part of the segment, Simon, where, and I know you can do this, we ask for golf travel tips. And I know you just got home from an extensive trip over in Asia. So if you were going to tell our listeners something to really be aware of when they're traveling on a golf adventure, what would it be?
I mean, one thing's for sure that comes to mind, which is if you've got a driver that you can take the head off, take it off, stop the airlines taking it off mid-flight. So I've seen many a driver turn up with the shaft broken. So, yeah, take the head off the driver would be a good travel tip for sure.
Absolutely. And we want to thank the folks, my good friends over at Westin Kia in Gresham, Oregon. They back this show, and they're a great dealer. In fact, they're the number one dealer in Oregon and Southwest Washington for Kia cars. Anyway, as we said, we're talking with Simon Millington from Golf Brands Inc. I have a set of Hogans, by the way, that I got about, I don't know, 3-4 years ago. And I just thought I'd throw that in for you. Have you seen an uptick in your business since you, and it's fairly recent, but since you acquired the licensing for the Hogan brand?
Yeah, I mean, it's been tremendously well received. You know, the product, I mean, the product is beautiful. You can't make, you know, the forge lines, you can't make better. There isn't better golf equipment out there.
Right.
You literally can't spend more money. You can't do it better. We're custom building everything in the US in Henderson. It's all done in-house here. We've got a team of, you know, really high quality assemblers that are doing all the assembly. And, you know, it's really allowed us to build on just with Ben Hogan, but also across our other brands to offer more and more options for custom fit. So yeah, it's been really good. It's one of the things I like with Ben Hogan. It kind of drives us to be better. It makes everything we're doing across all our brands better. And you know, it's kind of funny being an English guy and saying it, but you know, I'm really proud to be doing it in the US. I absolutely love it. I've been out in the assembly plant this morning. I love it. I love wandering around. I love looking at what they're doing. I love looking at the orders. So yeah, it's been a really positive thing for the business for sure.
That's good. And it, you know, when you say the word Hogan, he's been gone for quite a while and all that, but it still is synonymous with work ethic, quality, yep, laser focus, if you will, all of those things. It's I don't think it's one of those things that's ever going to go away myself. I just,
I absolutely agree. It's our job to make it relevant across, you know, and to tell the story to younger golfers, you know, who may not have heard of either Mr. Hogan or the brand, but, you know, we still have a sort of a devout following for sure with that, you know, I mean, like it makes me smile when I go and look at the orders and I see the blade, the icon blade that we do, which is, I mean, it's a beautiful blade, but it's a blade.
Right.
And we're making them with a senior graphite shaft in it. These guys are still sticking with it. It's like they want to play golf with a bladed club and, you know, no matter what their age. But, you know, if you like a sort of Miura for, you know, as the regarded, you know, as fabulous as their golf clubs are from Japan, you know, we feel that we're America's version of that. And the clubs, I believe our clubs are absolutely as good, if not better in some cases, than theirs. And, you know, we're very proud of that. And so for us, it's to keep building on that Ben Hogan legacy, you know, and, you know, from the turf up and all of his way of doing things. You know, okay, we're going to have to modernize some things that, you know, we need to do, but really make it relevant. And the most important thing I say is to try and tell the story that, you know, we want people to, you know, there's the sort of the Hoganites, as I call them, are absolute devout followers, but we want people who haven't had a set of Ben Hogans before to realize this is an American built club. It's as good as you can get. It's as good as anything. And you know, really sort of focus on that, because that's the next generation we need. You know, it's like we can't just have a sort of an older generation who are devout to,
right,
to Ben Hogan. We got to get the new following. So that's kind of our job to get that across.
I would almost think that would apply to McGregor too, because McGregor was big when I was a kid.
I mean, the thing is for me, which is really kind of, I mean, pleasing, is like, you know, I've been in the golf business 40 years now. McGregor, Ram, Zebra were the brands, you know, I mean,
right.
You know, I've talked about this before, but we, no other golf company in the world has more major wins than our brands. Now, Wilson are number one, but McGregor, Ram, Ben Hogan, Zebra, nobody with, and that's, you know, I mean, that's a pretty incredible thing, right?
Right.
You know, I guess starting on the road in the back of with a suitcase to owning these brands that at the time, you know, I can remember a friend of mine who was rep for McGregor at the time with the Big Mac putter thing that Jack won the Open with. And, you know, I remember him, they couldn't sell them fast enough. I was like, oh, well, it must be fantastic to be selling McGregor. And then, you know, at no point in my life did I ever think I'd be owning it at that point. So, you know, we're very, you know, I'm particularly very proud that we own these brands and, you know, we're bringing them back to life, but with really good quality. We've got the best designer, you know, across our putter line and across our club lines, we're using the best designers that probably in the history of golf, a number of them, you know, from putters through Austy Rollinson, who was head of Odyssey's now, Scotty Cameron, Larry Tang, who came up with the two ball putter. They've been working on our putter lines and irons. And then we have Gavin Wallen, who came from Adam. He was with Adams in their heyday, and then worked for other brands as well. But he's now our full-time designer. And you know, the products we're turning out are as good as anybody, but we don't have the rush turnaround of other companies, but we're really driven to reigniting these brands. So people get them and go, wow, you know, this is, you know, they're making McGregor about making go great golf clubs or Ram or whatever it is.
Right.
You
know, right.
They're really in sort of buying into kind of what we're doing and what we're trying to do.
No, I think that's great. I think it's very admirable too. We are going to take a break. We're going to come back with Simon Millington. Excuse me, from Golf Brands Inc. down in Henderson, Nevada. I've got more questions. That's not unusual either. Anyway, Simon and I will be back in just a minute. Stay with us. Hey, everybody, it's JT. You know, I talk about Painted Hills all the time, and we always say beef the way nature intended, but it's more than that, because each bite of Painted Hills will make your taste buds explode, put a big, bright smile on your face, and whoever is at your dinner table will have a big, bright smile on their face, and you can thank me for that later. Just go to
PaintedHillsBeef.com and find out more. You won't regret it.
Welcome back to Grilling at the Green. I'm Jeff Tracy, or JT as people call me. Real quick, we want to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef, beef the way nature intended. You can go to PaintedHillsBeef.com. You can actually buy stuff online from them too, so you don't have to go to the grocery store, and that will be delivered right to your door. They've got a store locator there too, so you can type in your zip code and they'll find something for you. Also, Grilla Grills. Simon doesn't know this, but we... I do a lot of cooking on my other shows, and so we talk a lot about food, Simon, also. But Grilla Grills experience the versatility of outdoor cooking with a complete line of gas pellet and charcoal grills, and also pig powder from my radio wife, Leanne Whippin. Go to pigpowder.com. It was voted the best rub on the planet. So we're talking with Simon Millington from Golf Brands. I was just thinking when we went to break, maybe you should call your guy if he's still around, your friend that used to sell McGregor, and bring him under the fold too, you know.
yeah I think he's a well, funny enough, his son worked for us for a number of years, so
really? Yeah, well, good. Yeah,
it's been a bit of a family affair over the years, and you know, I'm lucky. I work, both my sons are in the business, and you know, we work together every day, so that's a, you know, as a father from it's a, you know, great thing to have.
So you're always a guy that is on the go, it seems like, from our brief discussions prior to you coming on the show. What are you looking at? And when you're looking at a brand, is it just the historical significance with, if you look to revitalize, regenerate, and give a resurgent to a brand name, or how do you look at that and make a decision?
Look, I'm definitely emotionally attached to these brands. Like I say, you know, from when I was sort of starting in the industry, sure, they were the brand names. And you know, part of it is you look at it and go, look, these, we could sort of do another brand and we could spend a ton of money on marketing to get people to know about it and stuff like that. But, you know, we start with great brand equity on these brands. Okay, they may have, you know, over the years, they've ended up in different places and stuff like that. But, you know, to come back and go, you know, we're doing these fantastic golf clubs with Ram, with McGregor, with Ben Hogan. And, you know, obviously the way... You know, I always say to people, it's like, no matter what anybody thinks, the golf clubs we make today are better, the best McGregors that have ever been made, and the best Rams have ever been made, the best Ben Hogan, because of the technology. And I'm not saying that they did stuff that was bad before, but the yeah, quality of golf clubs in the last 20 years has improved, you know, 20-fold, you know. So so we really look and go, right, we can take this brand on, we can really ignite it. You know, like Ben Hogan was fantastic, you know, for us to get, because to have that real high-end forging is, you know, it fits in brilliant with what we're doing. And we've got some beautiful forged irons coming out this year in both Ram and McGregor as well. But it just, you know, like I say, is our job now is to reignite the brands in terms of quality. So if you get it, it's like, you know, I hope anybody who buys a product from us goes, wow, this is unbelievably good, you know, and for the price we pay, we do a lot of it is direct to consumer. So the prices tend to be lower than you would expect to see anywhere else. And, you know, we're building them in the US, you know, so if you order a set of clubs, it's not getting built in China and shipped by FedEx over like, you know, other companies do. You know, we're here, with American jobs and paying yeah, taxes here and doing the stuff, you know. And like I say, I might be English, but I'm really, really proud that we do this here in the United States. And, you know, we're shipping all around the world. And, you know, like I say, when I wander out and look at the orders and they're lined up and there's some from Australia and there's some from the UK and Germany and Sweden. And it's like, it's really exciting to see that and to be shipping out everywhere.
Was there, when you acquired Hogan and the deal finally went through, was there inventory left over in Fort Worth that you could bring to Nevada?
Yeah. So some of the products that we're selling at the moment was existing inventory, both in Nevada, both in Fort Worth and then also in the Far East. Mm-hmm. So we've taken all that on. We've got currently one new model out, which is the PTX Tour. And we're working on, there'll be a new driver that's probably about 3 to 4 months away, and similarly a new set of irons. And then come next year, there'll be another couple of sets of irons. There's a new golf bag range. There's a new, there's some additional wedges coming out. There'll be a new putter range. So a lot of golf bags. So yeah, we've got a lot of new products coming, but we've also got the older product that was existing there last year. So.
Is there a better time of year to launch something? And you know, we see this, Simon, with, you know, Titleist and Callaway and TaylorMade and all those guys. And the PGA show comes around and they kind of tease you in the fall about it. The PGA show comes around and all of a sudden you're inundated with all these club lines. Sometimes personally, and you can call me stodgy for that, I wouldn't be offended. But sometimes I think, man, it's just so overwhelming for the consumer. With a club line, let's stay with Hogan's for a second. Is there a more optimal time to say, you know, we know you've been smothered by all this other stuff, but here's a brand new Hogan driver, and kind of let them maybe breathe in between, if you follow me?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're definitely different in terms of what the industry does. So the industry is obviously always going to sort of this, you know, the next spring sell-in, right? So, right. And the also with the big brands, you know, you see it constantly. I mean, amongst them, you know, TaylorMade, people like that, you know, they're rolling out new clubs, new drivers, definitely every season, could be every 6 months. It's a constant cycle of like, we need to keep the machine. You know, they have a big machine to keep and they're fantastic at it, right? Whereas as a sort of a smaller family business, you know, we spend a lot of time, but we have to get the club right. You know, tooling is extremely expensive. You know, to tool a set of irons is sort of $40,000, right? So, you know, to tool a driver, to do all that stuff. And you know, we have to get that right when we're doing it as a smaller company, because, you know, we can't keep making mistakes. And, you know, like other ones, you can kind of make a mistake, they'll clear them out, they'll go on to the next one. It's 6 months right. cycle, whatever it is, right? We don't do that. So our big focus is like, we're going to change the models when there is better equipment to be, you know, we can make something better.
Yes.
So it could be a 2 year cycle, it could be a 3 year cycle. And so in answer to your question, when do we launch our golf clubs? We launch them when we're ready. We're direct to consumer. We're not governed by, you know, what one of the big retailers needs. We're totally focused on, let's get the product perfect. If it comes out in November, if it comes out in July, if it comes out in May, it doesn't matter to us. We do it when it's ready and it's right. And obviously not being in the, you know, like you say, that time in, around the PGA show, we'd also get lost if we brought stuff out there. We will bring stuff out in January if it's ready in January, but we're not fixated on that as a date. So, you know, we'll get more attention on a new Ben Hogan driver in July or August because people aren't bringing golf clubs out then. But we do it, it's ready, that's when it's ready. And it's literally as much as, when do we launch it? When it's ready, and we've got it. That's it. You know, yesterday in my golf spy, they had the top blades for 2024 and we came second with a new Zebra putter. We don't actually have them in yet for another month, which is frustrating. So we get this, but it was like, we put them in for the test. It's fun. You know, when you're beating Ping and Scotty Cameron and Bettenard and stuff, you know, it's really proud. Again, that was Larry Tang designed all those. But it's, you know, that's it. It just happens. We put them into the test and they're not going to be into the middle of April. It is what it is. It took that long to get them right. You know, there was a lot of work went into them. And so
no, that's all right. Yeah, it's only a couple of weeks away anyway. So yeah. Have you had to do, there's a famous story about Mr. Hogan. I actually saw him once. I didn't talk to him, but I was at his club and saw him sitting in the corner eating lunch. He was a lot older in those days. And I was 4 years old. So anyway, the point is there's a famous story about him looking at the iron sets. They just come off the assembly line. He looked at them, he didn't like them, and he threw them all away. You haven't had to ever do that, have you?
No, we haven't, luckily. We it's like I say, we go through quite a process. I mean, sort of really more than you could imagine to get stuff right. So, you know, literally we'll test stuff, I'll go and test it, I'll give it to people to try and test of all handicaps. I'll, you know, be it from a golf ball to a golf bag and stuff, you know, we kind of do it like a golfer would. It's like, oh, we could actually, that I could do with a pocket there. That would be handy on a golf bag, you know? And so like we kind of do it, you know, we're not just sitting in a sort of the design studio coming up with design. We're actually going out and testing them. We're giving to golfers to hit them. And yeah, we haven't had too many horror stories, I'm pleased to say.
Well, that's
I'm not saying there's never been any, but I'm just even to, you know, we're looking to launch a new golf ball, and one I found that I really liked, but I took it out to test it on Saturday, and literally it wasn't my finest round of golf, but you'd hit it and the cover would cut so easily. It was like, you know, the good old days of a Bellata golf ball.
Yeah.
So that's it, you know, like we can sit in the studio, we can test all the, you know, all the compression and all these things and you know, be pleased with the golf ball. And, you know, I've got covered in my desk here is golf balls cut in two to check, you know, the way the cores are and stuff like that. But you go and hit it and it cuts. So it's like, you know, it's back to the drawing board on that. So we kind of do those sort of from everywhere, from having the greatest designers design them and come up with all the tech to actually going and hitting them and getting good players, bad players, everybody in between to have a hit, you know. So
I would think that, you know, putting a smiley face on the cover of a ball these days is not a high priority for people, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. So it's, you know, we just take our time and we try and get it right. And we're not in a, you know, there's no pressure. It's a family business. We're not under any pressure from shareholders or investors or anything else that we've got to get this out and we've got to do this. We've got to get a golf ball launched. It's like, we're not going to launch the golf ball now for a bit longer because it wasn't right.
Right.
So, you know, until we get it right, we're not launching it. And you know, that's to say, we don't want to bring in thousands of dozens of golf balls and then get them all back and people be unhappy with them, you know, so.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, wrap up the show with Simon Millington. He is the CEO of Golf Brands, Inc. down in Henderson, Nevada. And Simon and I will be back in just a couple minutes.
Hey, everybody. JT here. If you need something to practice with in the inclement weather, try Birdie Ball. Go to birdieball.com. Check out the actual Birdie Balls, their packages, their putting greens, which I happen to have a couple of those, and they work great. Birdieball.com.
Welcome back to Grilling at the Green. Today we are talking with Simon Millington from Golf Brands, Inc. Very interesting story. You've had a really interesting life too, Simon. I mean, the you know, growing up in the UK, now owning a big golf company. No, it's not as big as Titleist, but for one family, it's a big golf company. Regardless of the number of brands in your line, you've got that. You have to travel. What other things, what other products, you don't have to give away the company secrets, but what other products are you looking at to add to your lines?
Like we're definitely completing lines, if you like, at the moment. So, you know, for instance, with Ben Hogan, we'll have golf balls, we'll have gloves, we'll have a full range of golf bags that was lacking before. We'll have, you know, sort of the travel, you know, the nice sort of the Boston bags and shoe bags and products like that, headwear.
Right.
So we're trying to complete all of our brands because, again, you know, we get, sometimes you get, you know, it could be, I don't know, you know, it's like you get fixated on, we're doing this new iron, and then we've kind of, you know, as I say, it's a family business. We're all going to be working together. We've not got teams of specialists in, you know, making shoe bags. So it's like, okay, we need to get that done. And then, you know, we've got to travel and, you know, we're launching McGregor clothing next year. So that's, you know, becomes another whole project and a kind of a different skill set. So we need to get some different people in to kind of look after that because we're not, you know, I'm a kind of hard, good guy. You know, I'm a golf club and golf bags. I'm in that hard, dirty bit of the industry. So the clothing is a tougher one for us, but you know, we'll be launching that next year. So, yeah, so it's completing lines. It's improving lines. It's, you know, just sort of constant evolution, if you like.
Just FYI, Simon, I've got a Ben Hogan shirt on under this sweater. So
yeah, very good.
Yeah. I've been wearing them for a long time. They actually fit. I'm not a little tiny guy and they fit me very well. So I've been wearing them for a long time. Just like I said, just FYI there. Where do you see Golf Brands 5 years from now? Or where would you like to see it?
I feel like we're in a very good place now. You know, I'm really happy with the brands we have. I'm not looking for anything particularly at the moment. I mean, you never know, something comes along, but
sure.
Mind you, I always say that and then always end up buying something else. But you know, so definitely just, you know, growth. You know, obviously we want to grow the business still. We're still very ambitious with the business and continue to grow, to build on our, you know, to really grow the reputation. I mean, I think the biggest thing in 5 years is that, you know, I want more people to to talk about Ram McGregor and Ben Hogan, not as, oh yeah, I know them from back in the day. It's like, I want to play them because they're fantastic golf clubs. So that's the thing that we have to work on. And, you know, like I say, we do it, be it with the media, be it whatever, you know, we're putting clubs in that we're proud to sell, that we are, you know, we send them to reviews, you know, to get reviews that we do, you know, like to come second in my golf spot. You know, you start off, to do a, you know, a putter test with the best will in the world. If I give you a Scotty Cameron and I give you a Zebra and I give you an Odyssey, you're already favoring the Scotty Cameron because you think it's the best putter there. So for us to get second and beat these brands is such an achievement because, you know, you've got past mindset as well at that point. You know, people right. are not expecting that to be the best putter, you know, and it was, I think, the best putter from inside 10 feet, which is, you know, the one probably that matters more than anything. So it's that constant, you know, brand elevation, if you like, that we're trying to do, but that comes from getting the product right to start with, you know. So, and then, you know, we're selling it all around the world now. We've got distributors in sort of every sort of corner of the world in a number of the brands, and that's pretty exciting when you're selling stuff to the Philippines and Indonesia and Australia and New Zealand and all these places. And it's like, you know, that's pretty pleasing when they're approaching you and want to be your distributor in, I say, you know, you wouldn't think the Philippines would be knocking your yeah. door down, but they are. And so that's really pleasing as well. And, you know, our continued sort of development of that.
Yeah. Well, the Philippines is more known for machine guns than it is golf. So
yeah. So, yeah. So it's brilliant when you sell stuff there. I love, you know, I'd say we just had orders this week, China and Taiwan and, you know, Germany and, you know, it's really pleasing when you see that. So for sure.
Absolutely. Is the European market for American goods rising?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's, you know, I feel that it has that kudos, you know, made in, you know, say we're building everything here. It's like in America, it still means something around the world for sure. Yeah. You know, and like I say, it's, you know, I would say the same sort of being proudly English, if you like, that, you know, made in England still carries a certain kudos around sure. the world. And so, yeah, I think there's definitely, you know, certainly in golf, you know, if you look at golf companies now, if you take out the Japanese, there's not really, it's Japan and America. That's really where the industry is owned, right? So, yeah, I think there's definitely a love of American brands. I don't find any animosity anywhere, you know, any resistance to that. So
sure. We're gonna wrap up the show here, but Simon is gonna, he doesn't know it, but he's gonna stick around for a few minutes for the after hours, which is always the fun part. Simon, real quick, where can people find Golf Brands? Where can they find your websites to make orders or look at your yeah. products?
I mean, I think if you can go, each of their sites has their own domain. So if you went on ramgolf.com, mcgregorgolf.com, benhogangolf.com, zebragolf.com, you'll find all the brands there. So, but if you search us, we're here, there, and everywhere. So you'll find us easy.
I got it. All right. Well, like I said, this is going to wrap it up for the regular show. We're going to jump into after hours here, but I want to thank Simon Millington from Golf Brands for joining us. Everybody out there, go out, play some golf, have some fun, be kind, and enjoy your week. Take care, everybody.
Grilling at the Green is produced by JTSD Productions, LLC, in association with Salem Media Group, all rights reserved.